Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 1. We're going to talk today about service. It says in verse 1 of chapter 20, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I'll give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' And so evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call all the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. And when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise each received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. It is not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or is it your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. God, we're so privileged to be able to come here and just worship you. And Lord, we thank you for the service that we have. And God, we just pray today that you will bless us. Open our eyes of our understanding of our heart that we might be enlightened today. Lord, does each one of us have different needs that we come here with today? And God, we ask that you meet those needs according to your perfect will. And God, we give you all the glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We're talking about service. Now, there's very few times I get to travel first class. I like to watch the old westerns and watch. I didn't know this, but on the stagecoach, remember they all get on the stagecoach and in the westerns and ride. And there's a first class stagecoach ride, a second class, and a third class. And I thought, just two benches sitting there facing each other. How could that be first class, second class, and third class? And then I was told that when you were in first class, if the stage came to a hill and the horses couldn't pull it all, the second and third class got out and walked. First class got to sit and ride. Made sense. If it became stuck in the mud, the second class could also ride, but the third class had to get out and push. Well, that was stagecoach. Now, I know one thing. We've flown quite a bit lately since we've been going overseas to see our children. And first class beats coach class any day. You get to see those people sitting up there in those big lounge chairs eating food and laying back and going to sleep while you're sitting there between somebody hunched up for 14 or 15 hours. I like first class, even though I don't get to travel in it. Well, so it is when it comes to the church, my friend. Most members are first class members. And first class, no matter what needs to be done, their membership means attending the service and sitting in the pew, and they never participate. They're only spectators. Now, most of our membership, most of churches' memberships are like that. They're first-class members. They get to come and they get to sit. They are spectators, not participators in the church. Now, there's also those who are second and third class. Those are the ones who actually get in there and serve in the church. They're out there pushing, you see. When things kind of become muddy, they're the ones that get out and push till the church makes it through those times in their life. Now, I want to talk about Jesus and what he said about, in this passage of Scripture, about service. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the Word of God tells us to be strong, Christians. And if we're to be strong Christians, we have to be serving Christians. Amen or oh me. We want to be those Christians that grow in the faith of God. We want to understand the Word of God and grow in our Christian life. Now, I want you to look at this parable in chapter 20, verse 1, and I want you to notice something. God calls workers. God calls workers. Verse 1 says, we find a household here in verse 1. We find a vineyard in verse 1. And we also find the laborers in verse 1. Now, the household refers to, I'd say, the master of the house. He owns the property. He owns the vineyard. He's the family or the master of the household. Now, the master, the Bible says, went out into the marketplace, and there he found laborers to work in his vineyard. Now, the householder represents our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The laborers represent the Christian workers that are in Christ. And the vineyard represents the Christian's place of service. In other words, the world, where we go. Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Go out into the world and reach people for Christ. Tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the call for the workers, I want you to know something. It is a persistent call. The workers would gather in the marketplace. They would go to the marketplace and they would stand and they would wait for somebody to come by and hire the workers. Now, this was done several times a day. We notice it was done at 6 a.m. in the morning. It was done at 9 a.m. in the morning. It was done at noon. It was done at 3 p.m. in the evening. And it was also done at 5 p.m. All day long, the landlord or the householder or the master would go to the marketplace, and there he would hire laborers for the vineyard. He was working those people, and he would go and he would hire those people to come and work. It was a persistent call all day long. He needed workers to work in the vineyard. It indicates that he had a very large vineyard, doesn't it? To have that many workers coming to work in his vineyard. There is a great need, folks, today for the workers in the vineyard. For the Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world, everywhere. We're not just to go to Gun Barrel City. When it comes to Christian workers, Jesus Christ says we have a great call for them. There's a great need for workers in the field. The population of the United States is growing at a tremendous rate. Not long ago, I told you, I believe it was, if you look at the population clock, it's growing at a fast rate. Every time you turn around, there's more than thousands added to the world population. I believe now it's at 7 billion people in the world. It has doubled since 1960. Our planet is growing and people are multiplying at a tremendous rate. And as the population grows, it is staggering to the mind. How in the world are we as Christians to reach the world for Jesus Christ? I can't do it by myself. Neither can any of you do it by yourself. That's the reason. It's a persistent call to go into the field. Jesus Christ says, look at the multitudes. The fields are ripe unto harvest. Pray for laborers for the harvest, you see. The need for workers has never been greater. The size of the task has never been greater than it is right now for you and I to get busy for Christ to try to reach the world. Even if we are to reach Gun Barrel City, it's an enormous task at hand. Say we have 450 people in here this morning. How are we going to reach over, I would say, around the lake area, something like 60,000, and that's being on the low side. I was told there's more like probably 100 or 90 to 100,000 around the lake area in all the towns, in all the places. How are we, a church of 400 to 600, with 10 to 20% of the people going out, how are we going to reach the world that we live in around us for Jesus Christ? It's because God has a persistent call for workers. If we just draw a circle around our church of 5 miles, it is a task that remains still great. Maybe the percentage of the average church is 10%. In some cases, the rules say maybe 20% at best. But God says, I don't need 10%. I don't need 20%. I need 100%. 100% of the church moving out into the harvest, into the fields, working for Jesus Christ. That is our call. It is a persistent call God gives us every day. Not only that, the Bible tells us it is a pressing call. Now, the size of the vineyard requires many workers. The harvesting is here. About September was the harvest due. The things would be due to be picked. The grapes would be picked. The vineyard would be ripe. After September came, the rains would come, and they would the things would rot in the fields. So not only was the harvest great and the vineyard great, listen, the time was short. You only had a little while to get all the crops in, to get the grapes in out of the vineyard, or yet they would rot in the field. So we see the urgency. It's a pressing call. Now, as Christians, guess what? I don't know when the Lord's going to come back. Only He knows that. But I tell you something, the time is short. And it's getting shorter as the clock ticks. Our world is on a downward spiral. Everybody wants to know, well, when is it coming? I've been telling you, we have these people that believe it's going to all come to the end in the 2012. I think December the 22nd. I'm not sure. But I know one thing. God is sure when it's going to end. And He's going to call an end to it one day. And the Bible says the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the air. God's going to put an end to this place one of these days. So the urgency of the call for you and I to go out is great. Jesus said in John 9:4, He says this, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no man shall work. No man. There's coming an end to this time. We must be busy about the Father's business right now. S.D. Garden talks on the quiet talks of service. It's a talk about Gabriel talking to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he has a conversation. And he says, Master, didn't you die for the whole world? And the master says, yes, I did, Gabriel. And Gabriel said, you must have suffered a lot for this world. And he said, yes, I did, Gabriel. And does the world know how much you suffered? And he said, no, Gabriel, only a very few know. And he said, Master, what plan do you have to reach the whole world? Jesus said, Gabriel, I told Peter, James, and John. And I told Matthew, and I told some others that it was their business to tell the world how much I suffered. It was their business to tell the world that I died for them, that they might have eternal life through me. And Gabriel looked at him and said, Lord, what if they fail? What is your plan B? And he said, Gabriel, I do not have a plan B. I'm counting on them to tell the world. Folks, Jesus Christ is counting on you and I. You see, as born-again believers, he tells us to go ye therefore. As born-again believers, we ought to love him enough for his dying on the cross that we might tell the ones around us about Jesus Christ. Even if you draw a circle around you and your family, will you not reach your own family? Will you not take a stand for your family? Don't you want to see them in heaven? Listen, you can't wait for a preacher to come by to your family and tell them about Jesus Christ. It's your responsibility. You want to see your loved ones live forever? Jesus says, I'm counting on you. It's a Lord's call. It is a persistent call and is a pressing call this morning. Now let's look not only at the Lord's call, I want you to look at the Lord's compensation for these workers. The parable talks about wages. Man, aren't you glad to wages? Aren't you glad there's some wages to be involved? He says the wages that are repaid are paid. The reward for service, look at it. Now, each worker that is hired to work gets a denarius. That's a penny. It was a Roman silver coin worth about our penny. I know a penny's not worth much today. You have to save a lot of them up to, I hope you're not going to put pennies in your piggy bank for retirement. It's going to take a lot of pennies, and you're not going to be able to tote them around. They're very heavy. You know what? I enjoy Vacation Bible School every year because we have a contest between the boys and girls here. They're to bring all their pennies to church and give their pennies to go to foreign missions or to missions each year. And these boys and girls, they get really involved in that. They get there's a little competition going on, and they're bringing their pennies, and they'll break these pennies open and they'll pour them in those buckets. And we have to get some big old strong men to tote those buckets over to the room for the women to count them. And they're busy counting all these pennies. Let me tell you something. It takes a lot. But you know what? The Lord says, I will compensate every Christian who serves him. You know what? It pays to serve the Lord. It really pays. I'm reminded of the young man who was drafted into the service. He was drafted into the service. He didn't like it, but he wrote a letter home and says, Dear Mom, they drafted me into the service against my will. They took my name and gave me a number, Mom. My number's 298. They gave me some pants that are too small, some shoes that are too big, and they make me march in the morning. As a matter of fact, every day we march and we march and we march and we march. I'm so tired of marching. At 4:30, they tell us to get up in the morning, even before daylight, and they make us march. We have to march to breakfast. We have to march after breakfast. We have to march to dinner. We have to march after dinner. It's all day marching. The only thing that keeps me going in this army, Mom, is that on Sunday we can sleep late. And did you know, Mom, Sunday morning, that big man came in and yelled at me and says, "Get up! We're going to church." And guess what, Mom? We got up and marched to church. We marched in. We sat down. You know, Mom, it wasn't long till I dozed off. And then some fella got up and said, "Are you weak and heavy laden, number 298? I stood up and said, "Yes, I am. And you're the first person since I've been in this stupid army that's cared enough to ask about it." And he said, "Mom, I'm now in the brig. I don't have to march so much." Folks, we're called to serve the Lord. And so many times we're like this young man. We're called to serve in the greatest army ever, the Lord's army. And all we do is complain and complain and complain. And Jesus said, "Don't you know that I suffered for you? Don't you know that I died for you? At least you can do is go tell someone about Jesus Christ." Oh, and you'll receive a blessing for serving Jesus, because serving the Master is a delight. Revelation 22, verse 12. It says this, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according at his work shall be." Friends, one day Jesus Christ will come, and he will reward those who have served him. The rewards of service. Now let me tell you about the reason for service. The main lesson that surrounds this parable is the amount that was paid. Now, let's look at it just a moment. Some of them were hired at 6 a.m. in the morning. Some were hired at 9 a.m. in the morning. Some were hired at noon. Some, he came back, was hired at 3 p.m. in the evening. And then again, the Bible says, at 5 p.m. But they were all paid the same. All of them received one penny, denarius. Now, some might say, "Well, preacher, that's kind of unfair." In fact, that's exactly what the earliest workers argued on that day. Matter of fact, they said, "We were treated unfairly. We were treated unfairly." Well, they didn't like it. Now, in verse 2, I want to show you something. Here's what God is teaching us about service. Look at verse 2. "Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them out into the vineyard." He agreed with the laborers for a denarius. Now, he sent them out into the vineyard. They settled for what? One penny for the day's wages. Now look at verse 4. He's gone back to the marketplace, say at 9 o'clock, and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." And here's the important words: "And whatever is right, I'll give you." The first workers, they settled, they agreed, "We will work all day for one penny." The other workers were called out in each case, 3, noon, 3, and 5. He said, "I want you to go workers in my field. And whatever is right, I will give you." They didn't agree. They just went and worked for the Lord. And the lesson Jesus taught is we need to serve him with the proper motive. What are you serving God for today? Are you serving God for what you can get out of it? If you are, you're serving for the wrong reason. You serve God out of love for him. Don't agree, "Lord, I'm going to serve you if you'll bless me." I've heard people say, "Well, preacher, I give a tithe, but I never have received." You're giving for the wrong motive. No wonder. Well, preacher, I served on that committee and I did the best I could and no one ever said thank you. You're serving for the wrong reasons. You serve God just because of His love for you. You see, the 6 a.m. workers got a contract. The others, they got a job. And they were grateful for the work. You see, upon a day, we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you're serving God for what you can get out of it, friends, you're serving for the wrong motive. The desire to serve God ought to be a desire from my heart because Jesus Christ loved me, because He forgave me, because my sins are forgiven. I will work for the Lord. I will go out and visit for the Lord. I will do what I can for the Lord in the Lord's vineyard while I'm here, just because He loved me and He called me and He saved me. You see, the Lord's choice of workers. It's the Lord's choice of workers. Now let me tell you something. Let's go back to the parable. First, I want you to notice the unwanted workers. The unwanted workers. The Bible says he went to the marketplace. Now here's the picture. These men would be in the marketplace. They would stand around the marketplace, and a master of the household would come to the marketplace, and he would look for the laborers there at the marketplace. Remember when you were young and recess came along? I don't even know if they have recess anymore nowadays. Back when I grew up in Recklaw, we had a recess. You worked for an hour and you had play for maybe 30 minutes and you back in there and work again. Well, when we had recess, we would choose up sides. You ever done that? Now, did you want to be chosen first or last? You wanted to be chosen first, didn't you? Because first meant that people wanted you. They wanted you to be on their baseball team, and they chose you first. Why? Because they thought you were a good batter or a good pitcher or a good catcher. If you were just standing there, well, come on, be on our team. Nobody else wants you. You didn't want to be chosen last, did you? Well, it was the same way. In the morning, in the marketplace, I think about those hired. The 6 a.m. workers were probably the strongest workers, don't you imagine? And those workers would come and look at these men and say, man, that guy can work. I'll pay you a penny a day to come work, and they'd come work. Oh, here's another strong guy. I want him to work in my field, in my vineyard. Here's one that he's been known to pick bushels and bushels. I want you to work. But they never chose those weak people. They were always chosen in the last part of the day, because they were considered the last or the worst. So every morning they would have to sit there while all the strongest were moved out into the field, and they felt non-qualified until that 9 o'clock time come, until the noon time come, until the 3 o'clock time come, or the 5 o'clock time. They were all passed over. Well, let me tell you something. I would have to call myself a 5 o'clock worker. And probably you would too. You know what? When God called me, I didn't have anything to offer Him. I didn't have anything. I was just a regular old Joe. No education. There was a lot of people, a lot brighter than I was. I was a poor, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner at best. But God, that's the difference. But God, who is rich in mercy. Mercy means I didn't get what I deserved. Mercy called me into His service. God says, I want you. to come work in my vineyard. Turn with me over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Look at verse, let me find it, 26, 27, and 28. Got on the board there. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Do you see what he said there? Paul is saying, not many wise men after the flesh are called. Wise means intellectual people with a high IQ. Boy, that fit me. Somebody said the other day they were going to put my password, something they could remember, in their computer. And they was just going to put Byron IQ zero. Easy to remember. Well, praise God. He said, I don't call many wise intellectuals, high IQ people. Paul also speaks of mighty. It speaks of powerful people, prestigious people. Not many noble, well-born, got a good pedigree behind you. Paul states that God has chosen, what does it say in verse 27? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame to the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring nothing, the things that are. Praise God, Paul says. He doesn't choose the foolish or the weak, the wise or the mighty, but he chooses the foolish and the weak and the base and the despised. That's the second class. That's the third class. And that's what most of us fall into, my friend. And yet God says, I have chosen you out of this world to tell my gospel to the world. Maybe you're a 5 p.m. worker also. But I want you to know something. God has called you into his vineyard. And he says, I can use you, and your reward will be as great as the greatest out there. He'll bless your socks off if you'll just work for him. Not only that, we see the unwanted workers, we see the undeserving workers. Now, as we see, all are paid the same. You could argue undeservingly so, but they were all paid one penny, even the ones that only worked the last hour. They got everything the others got. Friend, when Paul came to the end of his life, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give me at that day. And I'm reminded that none of us deserve to be saved this morning. We don't deserve to be here this morning. We could have been born in Africa. We could have been born in South America somewhere where the gospel's not preached. We could have been born in a third world country. But no, God blessed us by sending us here in the United States of America, the greatest country, I believe, on this earth. And he's given us the gospel to go out and tell the world about it. Now, folks, that is a privilege that God has given us. I thank God for the grace that he's given me. I'm his child, and I can be his servant. You want to be in his vineyard? If you want to be in God's vineyard, the call is there. The call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come ye poor sinners, I will give you rest. You see, God calls you. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how big a sinner you think you are. God says, I've called you to salvation. Would you come this morning to salvation? Would you come and just say, Lord, I want to work in your vineyard. I want to receive the grace that is sufficient to save my soul. I want to be your worker. I want to be your laborer so that when I die, I'll have eternal life. I may go to heaven and receive the rewards there that you've got for me. Maybe that's you this morning. For those who are already saved, won't you come to him and say, Lord, I've been working under false pretenses. I've been working for the wrong motives. I've been working for what I can get out of it. I want to work, Lord, for what you want to give me. That's all. Maybe you're here this morning, you're looking for a church home. God's led you here. You've been coming and you feel his presence here. Why not join this church today and let God use you as a laborer in his vineyard here to reach Gun Barrel City? Would you come? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to work in your vineyard. Lord, I just pray this morning that we will come and work in your vineyard that you've given us. Lord, for the right motives, just because you love us and you died for us. God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.